Hello, everyone, and welcome to True Time. On this week's episode, we are going to be reading some real creepy true crime cases from Reddit. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Avery.
And my name is Dylan.
And welcome to True Time.
Welcome back.
We hope you're ready to get into these Reddit stories with us today.
I am ready. I'm interested because the ones we've done before, pretty crazy.
Yeah, and just like before, we've got some more crazy ones.
I'm excited.
So, for life updates, as you are listening to this, we will have just gotten back to Germany from our cruise.
Yep.
So I'm sure we'll be having some post-cruise sadness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always depressing getting off that boat.
Mm-hmm. And it's over.
Because it's a whole different life on there.
Yeah.
Everything's taken care of for you. All you're in charge of is cleaning your butt and putting on some clothes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, your daily routine is just vacation.
It really is, so 10 out of 10 recommend the cruise.
Yeah.
Don't let the last week's story of
of Amy Bradley.
Or last year's story of, you know, the other cruise.
George Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I recommend cruises.
Definitely recommend. And if you want to see pictures, posts, all the above, everything, all cruise content and all future upcoming travel content, check out my Instagram, TikTok. I think that's about it for now.
Yeah.
And that's all at my username, Avery E. Hamill. But there will be more travel content because now that we're back from our cruise, we have some more little day trips planned.
Yeah. So my parents will still be here for an extra week. And coming back from our cruise, we'll just be traveling around Germany. My dad was born here. So, you know, probably bring him back to his birth home and and then small trips around here and maybe some nearby countries.
Yeah.
We're still talking about which one we want to hit, whether it be, I don't know, Switzerland or Belgium or somewhere closer.
Yeah, we've had a couple options, but we live close to the Rhine River, so we might do some wine tasting.
Of course.
And things like that. But yeah, just definitely showing off kind of where we live and what's within driving distance.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're really excited. So be sure to keep an eye out for all those fun posts coming up.
Alrighty. Well, should we move into the fun Reddit stories?
Let's do it. Yeah. I don't know. Fun, maybe if that's your the way your take on it, but we'll see what you guys think. Okay. All right. So the first Reddit thread was, what's the creepiest crime that's ever happened in your city / town? And we've had some similar Reddit threads like this. Mm-hmm. So the first story is, a lady in my town killed her husband, then dismembered him and stuffed his body into trash cans.
Oh my gosh.
She then told everyone he was on a fishing trip vacation. His family became suspicious when they were unable to reach him after a while, and they eventually found his body on the property. After she was arrested, the family sold off all the belongings left in the house. It was so creepy walking through there, and especially in the shop / garage, because that's where she killed him.
Oh my gosh.
She received a life sentence in prison for his murder.
Did it say what city or town this was?
No, unfortunately not.
Gosh, you have to be like above psychotic to do something like that.
Yeah, like that's some horror movie stuff.
Yeah, and then just to throw them in some garbage cans like on your property.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like, what's going through your head? Yeah, there's no context as to why that woman did that or anything, but I guess the person who wrote this went to like the estate sale because they said they walked through the house. I couldn't do that. No way. I'm not messing with that. I don't want to own anything from that house.
I wouldn't buy anything for sure not, but just, I would walk through.
I don't know. That sounds sad and scary. All right. So the second story is, I grew up hearing about a girl killing her parents and trying to light them on fire. Kids would tell the story, embellish, and make up so many details, it was hard to believe. The girl snapped one day, burned her house down with her parents in it.
Oh my.
Yeah. Some stories included the devil. This was an isolated town of around 300 people, and as I got older, I came to the conclusion that shit like that just doesn't happen here. This is their language, by the way. Then one day, my mother pointed out a vacant lot and said that that was where a weird girl in her class used to live and she had killed her parents. Whoa. So I guess the parents know this story too. When I was in high school, one of my teachers told the whole story. So this must have been like their parents.
So this happened way, yeah.
Generation, and they didn't know it was true. And then one day the mom's like, oh yeah, that happened there. And I guess the kid's like, well, this like town horror story is true. So when I was in high school, one of my teachers told the whole story. The girl's father was molesting her and her mother knew it. One night, the girl stabbed them both in their sleep with some scissors. She then attempted to cover it up by burning their bodies in the garage. The only things she had that were flammable were a couple bottles of perfume. She went to school, acted weird, told another girl, and the whole thing unraveled quickly. This is where my teacher came in. The authorities came from nearly 200 miles away, but he was the only one with a decent enough camera to take pictures. He had to take pictures of burned, stabbed, frozen bodies of two people he knew.
I don't know if that's true. What?
I don't know. He took two shots and his camera quit working. The local sheriff had him pretend he was still taking pictures until the other cops left. Then the sheriff brought in heaters, and my teacher had to come back again and reshoot the pictures. That teacher knew everything and was easy to distract if we asked him the right questions.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
I mean, if it's a small town. I guess
they said it's like 300 people. That's like below small. That's like ridiculously
tiny. But small
tiny.
Towns like that definitely exist.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying is the only reason it could be true.
Yeah, because it's so tiny.
How ridiculously small that town is.
Yeah. So not, obviously their sheriff's department doesn't have a nice camera. Because why would they in a small town of 300 people?
But I'd be like, can I borrow your camera? I don't know if I have the 16-year-old kid. Or they didn't say how old he was.
It was a girl.
Or how old she was.
Yeah, I guess she was in high school. I don't know. The mom just said that she went to school with the girl.
Yeah. So it didn't say how, the teacher didn't say how old she was.
No.
When she was asked to do this. So she could have been a grown up maybe. If the teacher was older than her mom.
Oh yeah. The teacher was probably older and was a teacher still. So like.
It was when she was. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So the person who wrote
saying,
in.
At first I thought you were teacher. Saying it was when that teacher was in high school.
Oh, no.
She was asked by the cops to come take
these photos. No. I think the teacher was obviously an adult.
Okay.
Probably taught the mom and then is still teaching like the next generation of kids. Probably like, you know, in their 60s, 70s. Yeah.
That makes more sense because I thought, I thought you were like, they just grabbed this kid from high school who had a nice camera.
No. The only people in high school at the time were the girl who murdered her parents and then the mom of the person who wrote the story went to school with that girl. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Definitely creepy.
Like, what's really the stance sad. You even take on someone in that situation who murders their parents that...
Because of a situation being, like that? I mean...
I think most people would crack at that point.
Yeah, it's just... That's so heartbreaking. And the mental trauma that that would cause, I mean...
you'd be ruined.
That is why situations like that do happen. But I don't know whatever happened to the girl.
Yeah. Hopefully. That's what I was talking about, like sentencing wise.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say. So maybe she was probably sent to like some type of mental health facility. It would be my guess in a situation like that, especially if she was like still a minor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a heartbreaking story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next story is in a suburb of Albany, New York, this psycho college kid drove home from the other end of the state, Rochester, to axe his mother and father to death because they cut him off. They cut him off.
One of the stories that you did.
Oh, yeah, something similar.
Where he had his friends, like, mm-hmm. try to kill his parents and yeah. also shoot him so yeah. that he could get their life insurance money.
Yeah, I remember that story. They cut him off because he kept stealing from them and everyone else, but I think they were still paying for his college. Anyway, he drives 3 hours to Albany, axes the ish out of them. It feels wrong to say that out loud. And drives back to Rochester like it was no big deal. He did a terrible job at axing them because the dad got up in a neurologically zombified state when his alarm went off, got the newspaper at the front door, then finally dropped dead. The mom lived but is all possible? Disfigured. I don't know. I have no idea. I could see. I don't know. I know there's like.
Like your body's in such shock that you're still alive, but yeah. you don't actually know what's going on. So you're mm-hmm. just. You're
something insane. Yeah, I don't know. And but they said the mom lived, but is all disfigured. When paramedics finally came, she identified Christopher Porco, her son, but later during the trial stood by his side and defended him. He was convicted.
The mom defended him?
Mm-hmm. And the person said that it happened in around 2005 and you couldn't find this person on like Wikipedia for like the whole story.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it clearly must be true.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's a really sad story. Yeah. There's, again, just like, it's your son. So I guess at the end of the day, like, it's your child.
This makes me think that, like, even if I'm rich, I'm going to make my kids think I'm poor. they don't do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's just, I can't believe someone would do that to their parents.
Yeah. And I guess that's where, you know, the question comes into play. Is it... if it's nature versus nurture.
Yeah. Getting deep over here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is yeah. it because they raised him, giving him everything, mm-hmm. and then that's what made him go crazy when they cut him off, or is it he would have been crazy no matter what?
Yeah. I don't know. All right. So now we have a new Reddit thread, and it is, what is an extremely dark / creepy true story most people don't know about? And this first story says, part of this is well documented, part of it is a little sketchy, but here is the TLDR of Danny LaPlante. A pregnant woman and her children are found murdered. The suspect is a creepy high school student who lived in the neighborhood. Sure enough, they track him down and it goes to trial, very gruesome details. They come to find out it was not his first offense. He had disappeared before when he was 15 and he was discovered, according to the story, living / hiding in the walls of a girl whose family he had been stalking.
My gosh.
There are some freaky details, including his masturbation preferences, etc. Here are some supposed details and some sources. So they said, the movie finished and the girls went off to change for bed. At the same time, the dad came home. The youngest, 8 or so, was in her bedroom. She opened her closet and found Danny LaPlante standing there with a hatchet. He was dressed in her dead mother's clothes with makeup smeared on his face. He told her to be quiet and tied her up. He eventually tied up the whole family in the bedroom. He told them he was going to kill them. He'd be right back, so start praying. The guess is he went to ransack valuables. Thankfully, the youngest was able to wriggle free. She jumped out of the neighbor's house, who called the cops before coming back over with a gun to free the family. I think she jumped out and went to the neighbor's house. Mm-hmm. He freed the dad and the daughters, but didn't see LaPlante. Cops came and couldn't find him either. The family stays with relatives for 2 weeks to get away from the house. In that time, nobody's found LaPlante. The family has to come home. They pull in their driveway, see that mother effer standing in the window. The father starts yelling. Neighbors come over. They surround the house. Cops come and search the home. They don't find Danny, but find a disturbing scene. Pennies are glued to the ceiling. Strange writings are on the wall. Yeah, pennies.
What the heck?
I don't know. All of their clothes, furniture, and effing everything had been jacked off on.
Oh my gosh.
But no Danny. They searched the house. Nothing. Nothing until a cop in the basement hears a noise coming from behind the washing machine. Cops rush in and pull the washing machine away from the wall and find a hole. And that hole is Danny.
My gosh.
That's such a creepy story.
How does he even have enough time to be in their house and find a hole and get in their walls?
I don't know. That's insane.
That's almost like that story. What was it in Germany? Like the old, old story where that dude was living in their attic? Oh, Hinterkaifeck? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy had been hiding out in their attic. Yeah. Just creepy.
That's
really messed up.
Yeah. That's like the scariest thing that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You think there's like a rat in your wall or something? It's a human.
Oh gosh, that's so scary. Have you seen those like videos of people who have home cameras or like around their home, like for protection?
Mm-hmm.
And then that you see like someone crawl out of their attic or like a cabinet or something in the middle of the night and like eat their food and stuff and like crawl back away.
I've not seen those videos.
Yeah, there's like a couple of them out there.
That is so scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the family like thinks their food is just going missing. And then they go back, watch the security clips, and they see that someone is living in their house.
Bro.
Mm-hmm. Super scary.
I wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah, I would just get out of the house and call the cops. Like, try not to make a scene. Thank you to Neuro for sponsoring today's episode. Are you someone who is constantly on the go, trying to balance work, social life, and personal well-being? It can be challenging to maintain focus and concentration, but there is a solution. Meet Neuro, the gum and mint brand that can energize, calm, and focus you whenever you need it. I've been struggling a lot lately with staying focused and on track, and to be honest, as soon as I sit down to get some work done, I quickly find myself aimlessly scrolling on my phone as a distraction. It can be hard to find motivation, and I am someone who appreciates a good caffeine boost, but coffee and energy drinks have not always been my favorite go-to. A lot of the time, coffee really hurts my stomach and causes me to get super shaky. It's also not the most healthy option for me either, since the only way I can drink it is with lots of creamer. Neuro perfectly solves all of those problems by offering an easy and healthy solution so I can get my caffeine fix and stay focused while I work on True Time podcast content all day long.
Neuro was developed by former athletes who wanted to create clean, balanced energy that could be taken anywhere, anytime. With three different formulas to choose from, Neuro has a product to suit your needs. Their energy and focus formula contains natural caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins to sustain mental endurance necessary for maintaining focus. Two pieces contains 80 milligrams of natural green tea caffeine, which is about as much as a cup of coffee. Their Calm and Clarity formula is expertly developed with GABA, vitamin D3, and L-theanine to optimize composure and clarity of mind. And their Health and Vitality formula is specially infused with life-enhancing, immune-boosting vitamins to help strengthen and support your body. Each gum and mint formula comes in different flavors as well, so you can pick what you like depending on your preferences. They are all vegan, aspartame-free, sugar-free, and gluten-free as well.
Neuro gum and mints are the perfect solution for anyone looking for the perfect source of energy and focus. With Neuro, you can get the right state of mind safely and consistently, no matter what challenges come your way. Check out our link, tryneurogum.com/truetime, in our description to order Neuro Gum and Mints today and see the difference it can make in your life. All right, so this next case is in Centralia, Pennsylvania. And they said it was a pretty decent-sized coal mining town. And in the 60s, a fire, which I believe was started at a landfill but was not put out completely, caught an exposed coal vein on fire, and the fire burns underground to this day. In the 80s, the government started paying people to leave and buying up all the land and destroying the houses so no one could live there. Since they didn't exactly force people to leave, the town still has a population of about 10. There's enough. Ten. Yeah. There is enough coal underground to keep the fire burning for a very long time. I have been there before and in person. It is really eerie. It's a bunch of empty streets with one or two houses, a church, and some cemeteries. One part of the highway, which was closed off and rerouted because of the fire, is all cracked and misshapen, so the road is really uneven. One of the weirdest things is that steam still comes out through the ground. It almost looks like little hot springs everywhere, but it's all really coming from the fire below.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's a real town, apparently. If you look it up.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. How scary is that? Like, there's just a fire burning underneath you.
Yeah. Gosh, that has to be terrible for your lungs. Mm-hmm. That pollution.
Yeah.
It'd be so bad.
Yeah. It's not like a true crime story, but it's creepy. So yeah. I had to include it because I couldn't imagine. It's just such a strange concept. Like, that sounds like a movie or something.
Who would stay?
Probably some really old people who are like, this is my home. I don't know. But yeah, definitely super bad for you. Okay, so this next Reddit thread says, what are some of the scariest unexplained true crime cases or events? And this person said, the Axemen of New Orleans in 1918. People in New Orleans were being brutally axed to death in their homes. The police found this especially odd because the Axemen only targeted Italian Americans and did not take anything from their house. Without anybody being able to tap a motive on this psycho hellbent on massacring the poor citizens of New Orleans. After some time in 1919, the killer finally decided to contact police, saying that he was, quote, a demon from hell, and warned that anyone who did not have a jazz band in their home playing in full swing, he would punish them.
What the heck?
That night, every jazz hall in New Orleans was filled with people, causing no murders to take place. After that night, the murders subsided, and to this day, no one has been convicted of the murder of 12 people.
That is...
What a weird story.
Yeah.
Everybody just went to listen to jazz music all night to not be murdered.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
New Orleans is a very interesting place.
I want to go. I know you don't like it.
No.
I want to go see it. I've never been. I want a beignet.
I don't know. It was...
You have to go.
I'm sorry if you're from New Orleans, but it was nothing special to me.
I want to go. Dylan's going to take me. Okay, so this next Reddit thread says, which cases do you remember when you were actually surprised at the murderer? And this person wrote in, there was a case in my neighbor town high school when I was in high school. A cheerleader was murdered, stabbed to death, and as far as the press went, there was some maniac around the area. I was freaked out. It turned out to be her friend, a girl in her clique who was jealous of her.
My gosh.
The area was stunned. Kirsten Costas. Sorry if I misspelled her name. I believe that was her name. That was the note from the person. So Kirsten Costas. I think that's how I say it. And the murderer was Bernadette Prody. They made a Lifetime movie about the case called Death of a Cheerleader with Tori Spelling. Watching the movie makes it obvious who it was, but in real life, the community was shocked. This was probably about 30, 35 years ago, and I remember it still very well.
That's crazy that someone could get so jealous of someone.
Yeah.
That would kill them.
Yeah. And we've had, I know we've covered like the Slenderman stabbing. Mm-hmm.
But that was a different type of.
There crazy. Are still like friends though, like a friend who murders another friend.
Yeah.
It's so messed up. And, like, there's more cases like that.
Yeah, but it's even worse that's high school. Like, they always say, your parents always tell you, like, high school matters to you so much when you're in high school. But then once you leave, you realize.
How it's insignificant.
The dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
And, high school just matters way too much to people. Mm-hmm. They care way too much about what people think about them.
Yeah, they just can't see a life past it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really sad. And I couldn't imagine, too, like, you think there's some murderer running around where you live.
Yeah. And it's just some girl in your class.
Yeah. That's crazy. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. New beginnings can come with a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, and dealing with these stressors can cause us to struggle with sleeping, making life decisions, and finding what truly makes us happy. A few months ago, I personally had to make some really difficult decisions to prioritize my mental health, but by doing that, I was able to overcome the challenges I faced and ultimately learned how important it is to check in with myself and how I'm feeling. Fresh starts can be hard or even scary, but an amazing solution to work through anything you may be facing is to start talking to a therapist. Now is the perfect time to put your mental health first and check out BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service with over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists, and is 100% online, which is amazing because this truly makes it accessible to everyone. To get started, you simply just answer a couple of questions about what your specific needs are and what you are looking for in a therapist. This information allows BetterHelp to match you to a therapist who is experienced in helping to meet your needs and trained to listen. Then you can get in contact with your therapist in a way that is convenient and comfortable for you. You can text or chat at any time, as well as schedule phone or video calls. If at any time you decide you'd like a new therapist, BetterHelp can help you to make a switch at no additional charge.
BetterHelp is an amazing resource that offers professionalism and quality you would expect from in-office therapy, all from the comfort of your own space. It can be difficult to search and find the help you are looking for in your area, but BetterHelp ultimately allows you to connect with a therapist who is custom picked for you, with more scheduling flexibility at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/truetime. That's betterhelp.com/truetime. Check out our link in the description to take charge of your mental health today. Thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. Okay, next Reddit thread says, Reddit, what is the creepiest true story someone has ever told you? And this story says, I live near a camp that I used to attend as a child. When I was 7, there was a counselor at the camp who was Russian. The camp had a very large staff exchange program with many different countries. And very weird at that. I guess they're saying, that was in parentheses, so I guess they're saying the Russian camp counselor was weird.
Yeah.
So counselors said he was very incredibly fast, and during staff-only campfires, he would catch, skin, and eat live rabbits. He could do this crazy sleeper hold move. It essentially was a strangling move that knocked you out for a few seconds. You came to and were fine a minute later. I saw him do it on a counselor once. The guy was out for about 10 seconds. He was forbidden to do it after that. Yeah.
What is happening?
However, kids got curious and started asking him to do the move. He would do it in secret, but he would increase the severity of his holds, which would in turn keep the kid knocked out for a longer period of time.
Gosh.
One day, a camper went missing. He wasn't in his bunk, despite going to bed with his cabin that night. They did a camp-wide search, keeping us all on the soccer field for about 2 hours. The counselors had to start searching the water. They found his body under the sailing dock, completely out cold. And they said he was alive, but very unconscious. He had the strangle marks around his neck. Everyone knew who it was. They arrested the Russian guy and deported him back to Russia. Turns out they never even sent an exchange counselor. Nobody knew who the F he was.
What the heck?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if that's real.
That's crazy.
But that... What the heck? What year was that? Did it say or no?
No, just when they were a kid.
Interesting.
So strange.
It's always been my dream to go to camp.
A summer camp?
Yeah. Like, that's been a lifelong dream of mine when I was a kid. I don't know. I just feel like it'd be so fun. Unless you have a crazy Russian
camp counselor who does the sleeper hold.
Who just, you know, probably sneaked his way into America on a boat.
Yeah.
Became a camp counselor. Started choking people.
Yeah. It's so creepy. All right. So this is the last story for this episode, and the Reddit thread said, "What's the scariest true story you know?" And this person said, "I grew up in a funeral home. I helped out in the office. When I was about 15, we got a call from a man whose wife and infant baby had been murdered in cold blood. There were very few clues and made headlines. Cops set up surveillance at the viewing. It was heartbreaking as the mother was holding the baby in her arms." That's devastating. "I was asked to take the flowers and cards and periodically get the husband and ask if he recognized the names. I then photocopied them and put them back. I did it because I was a kid, people knew me, and I was unobtrusive." I guess this is like a way of trying to catch the murderer. And they used her because she was a kid.
Like doing what? Giving
the, so if they got flower cards,
yeah,
she would take them to the husband and be like, "Do you know who this is?" The police were probably using her, I guess.
Mm.
And so she would photocopy them and put them back because she was a kid. And if you saw a kid touching a card, you wouldn't think twice.
Mm.
I think that's the gist from what she's saying there. "I talked to the husband quite a bit. He seemed devastated and shaken. The cops told me they had an eyewitness to someone leaving the house the day of the murder. The witness was a 3-year-old girl. She recognized the man leaving. It was the husband's best friend. Turns out that the friend and the husband had made a pact to kill each other's families and run off with their secretaries."
What the heck?
"The little girl identified the friend, and I guess one of them cracked." Yeah. "They both went to jail on multiple counts, all on the testimony of a 3-year-old girl."
He was going to kill the best friend's family too?
I guess, yeah. They just had to do one family at a time. That's sick.
What the heck?
People are so messed up. "I still cannot believe to this day that that man stood right beside me multiple times and I had no clue. I don't think I ever looked at life the same way after that."
Yeah, that's insane.
It's so messed up. I couldn't imagine being in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Like, you're helping this man, like, at the funeral, trying to help him catch the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
The police are using you. Ugh, that's sick. I don't like that.
It'd be terrible as a kid working at a funeral home.
Yeah. She was 15, but she said she grew up in it. So I guess if you're always around it, you're used to it. But
yeah.
Funeral homes.
That's just so strange.
Yeah. There's a lot of money in it, though, apparently. Make apparently, like, more workers or something. Like,
someone
I don't know.
I knew in college, like, their parents lived by a guy who owned the funeral home,
mm-hmm.
or the morgue, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, he was a multimillionaire.
Yeah. There's a lot, because no one wants to do that job.
Yeah. And people always die.
Yeah. There's unfortunately always a business.
Until the day that, you know, we live forever.
Oh, Dylan and his live forever theory.
But yeah, that is a ridiculously crazy situation.
Yeah. But that is it for this Reddit episode. Let us know what stories you believed.
Yeah.
Which ones you think were a little far-fetched.
Reddit's always, you know, a place of...
Yeah.
It could just be crazy and true, or it could be someone was just bored.
Trying to get some likes or something. But at least in this case, like in this episode, there were a few cases that actually had names. So you can look into those deeper.
Maybe. Let us know if the facts are real.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let us know which stories interest you the most. Let me know, like, if you like this type of episode.
Yeah, this is like our third time doing this.
I think it's technically our fourth. I was looking. It's our fourth one. But I know I try to include more real stories like that are more closely related to true crime. But if you want more like creepy vibe stories that are not always true crime themed, let me know because I can throw those in too.
Yeah. All right. Should we move into the question of the day?
Let's do it.
So, the question of the day is, would you rather always hit a red light for the rest of your life, which is very frustrating,
yeah,
or always get slow internet after the sun goes down.
Always get slow internet after the sun goes down.
Really?
Yes, because that's when I shouldn't be on my phone anymore anyways.
Depends on where you live. Because here, during the winter, the sun goes down at like 3:30.
Yeah, that's true. But in the summers, it doesn't go down until like almost 10.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
I don't know.
I would say the slow internet after the sun goes
down. Slow internet pisses me off more than red lights.
Yeah, that is frustrating. But I don't know. Hitting a red light, I just want to keep going. I don't think I could do that for the rest of my life.
Well, the goal is to work from home, so
yeah. Hopefully. But I still like to go out.
Yeah. So you'd say the red or the internet?
Yeah, I'd rather have slow internet when the sun goes down.
I think I'm going with the red light.
Yeah.
Because I also like to, I don't know, I like to study at night. I'm sort of like a night owl.
Ooh, that's Dylan's college mascot.
Yes.
So punny. He really cracked himself up with that one.
It's just so dumb, but okay. But yeah, I do actually like to study at night and to read at night and stuff like that. So
yeah, but you can read at night without Wi-Fi.
No, I'm saying like reading like for school.
Oh, all that stuff. Yeah.
So I'd prefer the red light.
I guess we're different.
Let us know who's better.
Let us know which side you're on, Dylan or mine.
Yeah, alrighty. Let us know what your guys' answers are. We're always curious. If you guys want to see any of the photos from previous cases, Avery always posts those on Instagram and Facebook at True Time Podcast. And if you want to follow our personal life, so see everywhere we're traveling for the next 2 to 3 weeks, you can follow Avery at Avery E. Hamill on Instagram and TikTok.
Yep, and make sure you check out all the links in our description box. I'll have all the Reddit thread links there. There's way more stories than I picked from. So if you want to go down a rabbit hole, feel free to check those out. And there's also links for anything you heard about in today's podcast. So if you like checking those out too, feel free. Also, next week's episode, we'll be back in live time.
Yeah,
so
no more pre-recorded,
no.
So we'll have live updates.
Yeah, so feel free to, I keep saying feel free, guys, feel free. Make sure you go listen so you can hear about our trip. We're super excited to share all of that with you, but we hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back next Monday with another case.
Alrighty, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.